James, could you tell me about the seal skinning contest and the person who's one of the participants?
Yes. What makes this 1972 Olympics unusual is that the champion seal skinning contester didn't show up this year. Who is Rhoda Nagel, my mother. But since the Eskimo Olympics originated, she had been the champion every summer at Eskimo Olympics, and sometimes when she goes to her round of Diamond Anchorage too, then she wins that event. But this year she didn't come because she was in the hospital and she's been having problems with I think it's pruritus or something like that. And so, the lady who replaced her from Barrow won the event yesterday. She has been coming second all these years too. And she did it in 1 minute and 1 minute and 27 seconds. But my mother, Rhoda Nayak, in 1967, I think, did it in 57 seconds. Cut the seal and take the skin off in less than a minute, which is pretty fast. And that's what they did yesterday. There were four ladies participating with one winner. Elizabeth Lampe from Barrow won that event. And what makes it interesting too, Fairbanks people don't get too many seals up here, and whenever they do, person who participates in the event gets to keep the skin and the meat, and so therefore, this is usually a treat for people to be able to have some seal meat during Eskimo Olympics time.
Where did the seals come from this year?
I don't know. I think I haven't asked, but I think they came from Barrow. Yeah, I think that's where they got them from Barrow, and they got the muktuk from Barrow for the muktuk eating contest, which they did yesterday too.
They had, are they ready to light the lamps?
And I got into that so I could have some muktuk out there. And the champion yesterday did it in 27 seconds. It's about 2 inches by 1 inch piece of muktuk, and if you, and they eat it in 27 seconds. But I believe the record is 15 seconds, which is pretty fast. And that's another event they did yesterday.
Can you eat the muktuk in one piece, or do you cut it up when you eat it in this contest?
It's big enough that you can't just gulp it down in one piece. You have to cut it up. And this man cut it up, I think, in three big pieces and just swallowed those pieces. So these are some of the things they did. I think one of the highlights of the thing is the high kick they did with both feet. A record was broken last night in that event with both feet. The high kick, and a guy from Inuvik won that. I think they went up 7 feet, half an inch, which is pretty high for both feet. And these men are about 5'6" or something like that, 5'4", and you go up 7 feet, kick that ball up there at that height is pretty, and land on both feet. Kick that thing both feet and then land on both feet. It takes good coordination and good stomach muscles. That's what it takes, I think,
Do you keep your feet together? They're not tight or anything? You just keep your feet together?
No, they're not tight. There's possibilities where the feet are, one feet is higher than the other. One foot is higher than the other, then that disqualifies that that chance. You know, you have three chances to kick that. If it goes up 6.5 feet, you have three chances to kick it. If you kick it, then that's it. You go up higher and higher until there's only one person left who could kick it. And I think the previous record was 7 feet exactly, and they broke it by half an inch. So it gets higher and higher, I believe. But I think that, you know, these young people today probably are a lot lower than what the old timers used to do, because, you know, they used to go way up high. They didn't have anything to measure the distance with, but they say that, you know, these gas boxes were 5 gallon can of gasoline or, you know, kerosene are in those boxes. They say that one time one guy went up on top of that can and then had to reach way up to make it higher. So you figure that's another 3 feet or something like that to a 5'6" guy with another 2.5 feet reach. So it gets pretty high up there. And but they had a lot more stamina and more endurance, or what not, in the old days. They had to be, because of the harsh. Well, today's young people are a lot more easier going. You know, they don't have too many things hard on them. You could go to a store and buy whatever they have to eat. But in those days, they didn't have places for them to eat, so they go out and hunt and. Therefore, you know, they had a lot more going for them. And
do you remember when the game, the high kick, was? Do you remember it being played in Barrow in your early years when you were a child?
Yes, these are some of the things that were even before I was born. Probably I'm 32 years old, 1940. You know, child, but I think that. They originated way back, you know. People in those days were scattered around the Arctic coast, and they didn't get a chance to meet as a group often, but they usually meet during Thanksgiving and Christmas time, and that's when they really played games, you know, where, you know, their people are happy to get together and they haven't seen each other for 9-10 months, you know, out of a year, and it's a very good occasion for them to get together and have fun while they're together. I think those, and it's been many, I don't know how many years those things have been going on.
Do you think that the games played here in Fairbanks have the same feeling, that people come in and see each other again after a
I think
time?
They do. I think this is a very good thing for a lot of these people to get together, especially the people from Canada, Inuvik, and people here in Fairbanks, people from Anchorage and Nome and Kotzebue and Point Hope. Islanders and St. Lawrence Island, all these people gathered together here, and I believe that, you know, I think it's the same kind of feeling that, you know, it's with modern transportation like it is, it's a lot easier for people to get together, and they're doing a lot more a year, I think, you know. They just had their Olympics at Inuvik, when was it, last month? And they have games at Christmas time in Bell, you know. And but these are some of the local things that happen. But people come around from different places around Alaska for these times. You know, I think it's very good for, you know, we're in the competitive, you learn about the competitive culture, the white man's culture, where, you know, there's a lot of competition, and where, you know, normally they didn't have too much competition in the old days. But, and it's a relaxed feeling, you know, where some of these people, you know, like yesterday, you know, during those high kick events, and, you know, you get down there with these young people and you just, you know, you just have
the
that.
People will march back off the stage so we can continue on with,
you know,
the evening program.
Real good rivalry. That's what it is. It's it's relaxing, and you know, it's not a real competition that, you know, as we see it. But you know, where if a person can't reach 52 inches, you know, then that's too bad for that person. And the person who can reach 52 is, then everybody applauds him, you know, because he could do it, and that shows that he's more capable of going 4 inches higher than the other person, you know. So,
what's happening right now, James?
Well, I guess they're having a time where they march around the gymnasium here at the Padded Gymnasium and at the university, and they're going around presenting each dancer group, each group from different villages. I just saw Barrow, Alaska as being the, because of their traditional first place slot, you know, from that in the dancing group. I think as first place champions last year, you know, they have that privilege of being the first ones to go around the gymnasium and present some of the things, the parkas and the costumes they have, and present the dancers that way, and the group from each area, and going home to Newbig and those other places were represented. They're just marching around so that people could get familiarized with who the people are from, you know.
Would you tell me what your name is and how long you've been here?
Yes, my name is Gayo Kakuk from Barrow. I moved on here just for temporarily, and I didn't know how long I would be down in Fairbanks right now.
What have you been doing here the last few days at Paddy Gymnasium?
Well, I didn't know that I was elected for a commissioner on the housing project, so I suppose I'm going to stay here another a year or two. So you never can tell whether I would or not.
What kinds of games have you seen in the Eskimo Olympics since you've been here?
Well, I've seen all kinds of games, like we do up at the north. Especially, the important part that I've seen is a high kick. That's a world, I think it's a world champion yet so far.
Who was the high kick winner this year? Where was he from?
My nephew, Tom Gordon from Inuvik.
Wow. Has he practiced very much? Has he done the high kick for a long time?
Oh, yes. Ever since from my boyhood, I've seen all this game, such as high kick, one leg kick, and both feet kick, until up to this day.
Have you seen people in the past, a long time ago, doing the same game?
Oh, yes. But nowadays, there seems to be a little difference yet. They had someone who knows how to work on the games like they used to before, a long time ago when I was a boy. But nowadays, they changed them quite a bit. It's kind of easier for everybody now.
What's different about the high kick to you? James Nagyak was just telling me that people did kick much higher in the past.
Oh, yes. I'm one of them. I used to be one of them myself. And they haven't even reached that goal yet, which I have kicked before.
What was that you kicked before?
Well, I went up to 8 feet myself with both feet. And I would, if they hadn't stopped me on this, I still would kick it up, I would say about an inch or 2 inches yet.
How long did you do the high kick, Guy?
I was about 11 years old when I first began to.
When did you kick the 8 foot mark on the high kick?
I was about 16, 17 years old.
Was it in barrel that you kicked the high kick?
Yes, sir, I was.
Tell me the occasion. Was it in the middle of wintertime that you...